Oh, what a wise and prudent people you are to come to Mass here this evening in anticipation of the snowfall tomorrow morning. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to have that Mass instead of this one, but I also called up Father Joe and I says, hey, you know what, can we do a little switch? And he said, yes, absolutely. So, and just, you know, just one thing to be thankful for, we're not in Buffalo, okay? I thought, we, you know, Clevelanders were tough. You know, Buffalo, man, they got to be tougher. Man, that just is amazing. Who here is a priest? Who here is a priest? Everybody. Well, here's the trick question. Okay, here's the trick question. How many priests are there? One. His name is Jesus Christ. But we share, all of us share in his priesthood. I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. So who here is a king? Everybody. Guess what? If you are baptized, you are baptized into Christ's threefold offices, priest, prophet, and king. This is one of my favorite topics to preach about because it is a fulfillment of our Christian mission. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph number 783 teaches Jesus Christ is the one whom the Father appointed with the Holy Spirit and established as priest, prophet, and king. The whole people of God participates in these three offices of Christ and bears the responsibilities for mission and service that flow from them. There it is, right there, teaching the church. You are a priest, you're a prophet, and you're a king. And you have to fulfill the missions accordingly to each one of those offices. You are a member of the priesthood of the baptized. Priesthood of the baptized. Myself, through the sacrament of holy orders, share in the ministerial priesthood of Jesus Christ. You know, I have the humble privilege of being in persona Christi, capitas, in the person of Christ, head of the church. This reality of the priesthood, of the ministerial priesthood, and the priesthood of the baptized is made, is obvious now in the new translation of the Roman Missal. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. I offer the sacrifice on your behalf. And you affirm that offering by your saying, that's right. Because you know how many times the priest says amen during Mass? Zero. I don't say that. That's your job, to affirm what is happening here. So you are exercising your office of your baptismal priesthood in the sacrifice of the Mass. And at the end of Mass, my preferred dismissal is, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. It's a reminder of Jesus' commission to all of us to go out to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all that I have commanded you. When you proclaim the gospel, you are fulfilling your prophetic office. From the priest, you're a prophet, so you're filling your prophetic office. So proclaim the gospel always and use words if necessary. I've heard that somewhere before. So what about your kingly office? Remember Mel Brooks in his History of the World, Part 1? It's good to be the king, right? Today, as we begin the 34th week of Ordinary Time, we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. And when you remember the King, don't forget the Queen either. Beautiful, isn't she? The Feast of Christ the King was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925, almost 100 years ago, as an antidote to secularism, a way of life which leaves God out of man's thinking and living and organizes his life as God did not exist. almost 100 years ago, and you know what? We still have the same problem. Worse today. You see, Pius XI was prophetic in establishment of this solemnity at the end of the liturgical year because, you know, next Friday, what do they call that day? Black Friday. You know? Sounds kind of ominous. Because this Friday, you know, the pagan glory begins their secular holiday season. I call it, you know, the secular Christmas, and I spell it with a small c, because Christ is nowhere part of that. So their Christmas begins on Black Friday and it ends on December 26th at the return counter. This feast is intended to proclaim in a striking and an effective manner Christ's royalty over individuals, families, societies, governments, and nations. Whereas the church sees the preeminent nature of Christ as king over everything, all those people, the individuals, families, societies, governments, and nations, they don't want any part of him. But do we see the importance of our divine king for ourselves and our families? When was the last time a nation was formed to protect its religious identity? It was May 14th, 1948, and the official country of Israel was established. Catechism teaches us again in 786, finally, the people of God shares in the royal office of Christ. He exercises his kinship by drawing all men to himself through his death, and resurrection. What about our vocation here on earth? What is our duty? Another one of my favorite topics to preach on is the building of the kingdom. Catechism 898, by reason of their special vocation, it belongs to the laity to seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and directing them according to God's will. Our church is teaching us is that we have to effect change in the world around us according to God's will and not man's will. Remember when we get into trouble? Whenever we go against God and man redefines the truth. It pertains to them, the laity, in a special way so as to illuminate and order all temporal things which they are closely associated, that they may always be effective and grow according to Christ and may be to the glory of the Creator and Redeemer. We are meant to effect change in the world. That's what it means to be a king. To exercise your kingly office. Probably one of the most important things you did was probably, you know, Tuesday a couple weeks ago, right? In the dogmatic constitution of the church in Lumen Gentium 31, by the laity, by their vocation, their very vocation, seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and ordering them according to the plan of God. Lumen Gentium just repeats exactly what the Catechism teaches. They are called there by God, that by exercising their proper function and led by the Spirit of the Gospel, they may work for the sanctification of the world from within it as leaven. You are the leaven that lifts up the world around you. In this way, they make Christ known to others, especially by the testimony of a life resplendent in faith, hope, and charity. Now, you know, you all know that I'm still a priest of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and I've served in many churches in Washington, D.C., and one of the churches that I was assigned to for a short period of time was a very affluent church in Bethesda on Massachusetts Avenue. And one of the parishioners there was the Chief Justice of the United States, a gentleman by the name of John Roberts. He was a parishioner there. Because he was good friends with the pastor, he had a special deal that the eighth graders would get a private, behind-the-scenes personal tour of the Supreme Court. And then afterwards, in the actual courtroom, the Chief Justice would come out and talk with them and ask them questions. And of course, these eighth graders are very, very smart. They go to Catholic school and they ask them some very tough questions. One of the questions was, how do you balance being a Catholic and being a judge? And he says, when I put on my robes, the only thing that affects me is the law of the country. Everything else is put aside. Really? How are you affecting change? How are you upholding the law of God from which all law comes? A former Catholic senator of the state of Massachusetts considered himself to be a devout Catholic. He said the way he justified his decisions was that he put the will of the people first and then the will of God. You see the disconnection here? And no wonder we're in the situation that we're in. Sorry, those are lame excuses. Lost their identity by protecting the office to which they are appointed or elected, and forsaking the office to which they are baptized. Which is the higher office? And the higher office is that which is given to you by Jesus Christ. As a kingly people, you are responsible for the building of the kingdom here on earth, to prepare the way of the Lord. Guess what? Advent begins next week. Is it going to be easy? Of course not. Look at the throne. It's the cross. And in sharing in Christ's kingly office, we share his throne. To deny the cross is to deny him. As I mentioned, we begin next week the penitential season of Advent, the Little Lent. So it's time to start praying about what you're going to give up for Advent. Don't let the secular Christmas draw you away from the reason for the season. Offer the sacrifice. Proclaim the gospel and build the kingdom of God. Let us pray that the King of the universe may help us in building his kingdom here on earth.